And I want to welcome you to the I Want to Know More podcast for this last week of October, first week of November of 2024. On the podcast today, we're going to 2 Samuel chapter number 8. 2 Samuel chapter number 8. And verse number 18. 2 Samuel 8 and 18. The Bible says, "And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over both the Kerethites and the Pelethites, and David's sons were chief rulers." We talked about Benaiah last week. This week we're going to talk about something completely different. And I mean completely different. Benaiah earned his position. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, a priest, a fighting priest, a lion of a man. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. He slew a lion on a snowy day, and he slew a 5 cubit tall Egyptian man with his own spear, with the Egyptian man's spear. And he had the respect of the mercenaries that were David's own personal guard, that is the Kerethites and Pelethites. And we talked about them a little bit last week, and that's probably as much as we're going to. There's not really anything doctrinal that we can get out of the Kerethites and Pelethites, other than the fact that these were Philistines, and they respected David. They respected him. They were loyal to him. And they would not have respected any man who did not earn their respect. Benaiah earned their respect. Benaiah was probably the only one there that they were that respectful of. Number one, Benaiah was not family of David. He was not even of Judah. He didn't have land. He was a priest. And so he was about as impartial as they come, perfect for the leader of the guard of the king, perfect for that job. And so Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, we talked about him last week. He earned his position. He was the most qualified for the job. And then we come to this very last statement. "And David's sons were chief rulers." Now, this is a hard subject. This is a hard subject, especially in the mountains of Western North Carolina, where family businesses are a big thing. The family business, taking over the family business, and sons and daughters being trained from a young age to take over the family business. I understand that. I understand that tradition. But many times, family is not the best for the job. There's a word for it. It's called nepotism. N-E-P-O-T-I-S-M. It comes from the Italian nepotismo, which has the root word in the Latin nepos, which means nephew. And it comes from the practice that some of the popes of the Catholic Church had of elevating their nephews to positions of great authority. And in fact, coming up with a way of getting family into to cardinalships and then getting them the papacy. There's a whole sordid tale of several popes. You can look it up. You can see what happened there, how that the popes went through. And some of these so-called nephews were actually the pope's own children. Even though the pope had a vow of celibacy, there were so-called nephews that were actually conceived from the pope breaking his vow of celibacy. And so nepotism comes from that, giving the nephew the job. And that's where the word comes from. But it means giving family a position that they did not earn. They get the position because they're family. And again, this is very common in family businesses. And I'm not necessarily saying anything against it in that context. The family business, if you grow up in the business, you may very well be the most qualified person to run that business. But nepotism is very dangerous when it is practiced in ministry, in churches. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous because the Bible is very clear about how God feels about it. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. That means He treats you equally and equitably with everyone else, regardless of who you are. And God may very well call a member of the family to do something in the ministry. But it's because God called them, not because they're family, that they get the job. That's the way it's supposed to be. But here's the interesting thing about all this. Israel, when they had asked for a king, were doing it for an odd reason. Let's go back there real quick to 1 Samuel, also chapter number 8. I think that's an interesting coincidence. Chapter number 8 of 1 Samuel. Let's read a little bit here. 1 Samuel 8, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. All right, Samuel engaged in nepotism. He made his sons judges over Israel. Now, who did that? Who else did that? Well, Gideon did that, and it did not work out well for Gideon. It did not. But otherwise, the judges were raised up by God, not by man. And they were, none of them were related. None of them. Ehud did not just raise up his son. Jephthah only had a daughter. Gideon is the only one. And had sons, and one of those sons even made himself to be king. And I encourage you to look into the book of Judges to see that. But here Samuel, it says, he made his sons judges over Israel. I don't believe that was the Lord's perfect will. The Lord allowed it, but the Lord did not bless it. Now, the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. What's lucre? Something that is lucrative means you got a lot of money in it. Lucre. Don't be greedy after filthy lucre, the Bible cautions the minister. And so it's about money. They were taking money, bribes, and they perverted judgment with those bribes. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel to Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. All right. So think about this. The elders came. They had ulterior motives. They were using the opportunity of Samuel's sons being men of Belial. They were using that opportunity, although the Bible does not say they were men of Belial. It just says they didn't walk in Samuel's ways. But it might as well have said that they were men of Belial. Thankfully, one of the sons of Joel was quite the man, and he would later be very much used. And again, I encourage you to look that up. We've talked about this before, but look it up. So, put yourself in the circumstance here. The elders of Israel come up and they say, Look, Samuel, your sons don't walk in your ways. Now make us a king like all the other nations. Number one, they wanted to be like all the other nations. They wanted to fit in with the other nations. That was the big thing. They were using this other as an excuse, because what were they saying? They were saying, Samuel, we don't want your sons to be rulers, but we want a king who will make his sons rulers. We don't like it that it's passing down from you to your sons, so give us a man who's going to pass it down to his sons. Okay? You see how ridiculous their request actually is when you look at it that way? But, and Samuel was not happy about it. I mean, go ahead and read the rest of that chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 8. It tells you, and the Lord says they've not rejected me, or they've not rejected you, Samuel. They've rejected me. Okay. Now, folk, this hits hard because a father and a mother love to have their kids follow after their footsteps. You know, I'm a father. My wife and I, we have children, and it would tickle me to death for one of my sons to follow after my footsteps. In the flesh, it would tickle me to death. But that may not be the Lord's will. You know, I did not follow after my dad's footsteps exactly. My dad did not follow after my grandpa's footsteps exactly. Mm-mm, no. My grandpa was a rock mason. Rock mason, and he made molasses. And he was one of the best molasses cookers in the area. He knew what he was doing. And he made sorghum molasses, and he was quite well known for doing that. And he was well known as a rock mason. My dad, on the other hand, was a mechanic. And he was well known as being a mechanic. I work with computer systems and technology. That's my thing. I did not follow in my dad's footsteps as a mechanic. I don't have the patience that my dad had to be a mechanic. And my dad just didn't have the eye for what a pile of rocks could be, like my grandpa did. Now, my dad could do some decent rock laying. He laid some rock in the house that I live in now. But he didn't do it for a living. He was a mechanic. I kind of piddle around as a mechanic, and that's not my living, and I have never laid rock. See, I'm not following after the family's footsteps. But it is a great desire for a father to see his sons follow after his footsteps, and it's a great desire for a mother to see her daughters follow in her footsteps. And it can be very disappointing when your kids don't do the way that you raised them to do. And I understand how Samuel must have felt with his sons not following after his footsteps. They were taking bribes, and they were greedy of money, and they took money to pervert judgment. But he's the one that made them ruler. He's the one that made them judges. He made his sons judges instead of trusting the Lord to bring up the next judge. So in many ways, Samuel caused this himself. Now, we often think of Samuel and think of him as this, put him up on a pedestal, you know, as some great man. But he was a man just like anybody else. And the very thing that he hated, I'm sure, as a kid, how Eli's sons were. And he had prophesied against Eli and his sons. And then he saw that come true, how that Eli's sons, who perverted judgment, took bribes, took favors from the women who stayed at the gate of the tabernacle. And it is just as bad as what it sounds like, what they were doing. Women would come, they would want things, and the sons of Eli looked at them and says, okay. And they'd say, we don't have any money. And Eli's son says, that's okay, we don't need money. Just come right in here and we'll take care of things. And they did that. Don't you know Samuel grew up hating that very type of thing? And then he goes and makes his sons judges, thinking he's going to raise up a dynasty after himself. That's what dynasty means. It means a family group that keeps it in the family, and they have power in the family, and it stays in the family. Well, family may not be the best choice. Family may not be the best choice. And for judging Israel, family was not the best choice. And here's the thing. It would have happened in just another generation anyway. David was going to be the one who God was going to make king. But I have to wonder how different it would have looked had Samuel not pushed the issue by making his sons judges, which is the what a king would do, you see. The king would make his sons chief rulers, which is exactly what David did. That's exactly what Saul did. And that's what every king of Israel and Judah would do from then on. The sons of the king, they were there was no way you could earn the kingship. You had to be born to it, all in the family. And so we see in 2 Samuel 8:18, David's sons were chief rulers. We see in 1 Samuel 8, Samuel made his sons judges. And because of that, the people said, okay, make us a king. And Samuel had no leg to stand on in terms of, well, the king is going to, he's going to pass it on to his sons, whether they're qualified or not. He could not argue that point, and he doesn't argue that point. That's not mentioned. Mm-mm. Because Samuel would have been a hypocrite had he mentioned that. But the Lord says, it's not you they've rejected, it's me. They've rejected me. And Samuel enabled it. Samuel enabled it by making his sons judges, just like a king would. And the elders saw their opportunity and said, well, look, we don't think your sons are right for this job, so give us a king. I guess they figured if they had a king that there wouldn't be any bad sons, I guess. But they wanted a king. And I'm afraid that there's a group of people today would prefer us to have a king rather than have the government we have. There's a group of people. In fact, there's more than one group of people who disagree with each other, who would prefer that their preferred person would be the monarch and would be able to pass it down in the family. See, that goes along with human nature to pass things down in the family, doesn't it? The family business. Well, here's the problem. Ministries are not the family business. Church is not the family business. What matters in church, what matters in ministries, is what God wants and what God's will is. Now, it may very well be God's will for a family member to have a position. Hey, I'm not ever going to second guess God. But I will say this. If it is God's will for a family member to have a position, then you better be sure of that. And better be sure that it's not because they're family. Mm-hmm. Because that gets dangerous. That gets dangerous in a hurry. I find it interesting that 2 Samuel 8:18 puts it the way it does when it says David's sons were chief rulers. What did they do? Well, they were just chief rulers. They didn't earn their position. They didn't have special skills. They weren't even mentioned by name. There's another place they were mentioned by name. And the other place where they're mentioned by name, we're not told what ruling jobs they did. The practice typically amongst other monarchies of the day was that they had put their sons and trained them to do any job in the kingdom. And they had put them over and make them foremen over work crews and make them leaders in different positions. And they'd have them rotate through positions and learn the job, whether they were qualified or not. Qualification was not even part of the equation for that. It was, this is the king's son, and therefore he's got this job. I've read stories of business where the son of the owner getting a job ended up causing the company ruin because the son of the owner was not qualified for the job. In the ministry, God is the one who determines the qualifications. It's not family ties. It's not even how qualified you are in a worldly sense. It's who's called by the Lord to do the job. Mm-hmm. That's what it ought to be in ministries and in the church. Pastors, you're called to your position. I'm a pastor. The Lord called me to my position. I did not earn the position. I was not given the position because I was related to the previous pastor. No, the Lord called me to it, and the Lord bonded my heart to the position. And it was the Lord's doing. Nepotism in the ministry is a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for resentment from the other staff. It's a recipe for people looking very closely. Now, again, that family member may very well be called to that ministry. May very well be. And if that's the case, hallelujah, let them run it. Let them do it. But if they've got the job just because they're family, David's sons were chief rulers. In another place, it's that David's sons were chief rulers about the king. And so David was trying to train up his sons, and he was testing them. He was seeing which of his sons would be best to be the next king, because he had to give it to one of his sons. Now, wouldn't it have been better if he could have picked the most qualified person? No. God says, okay, that's fine. Give him a king. And so at that point, the Lord is saying, do that. Do that. And the Lord's going to use that in spite of them when he brings up Jesus Christ as the son of David. Mm-hmm. It is going to work out in spite of the flesh, in spite of the problems that nepotism brought to the monarchy. And nepotism did. The son of David, Solomon, was qualified, but the son of Solomon, Rehoboam, was not. And there were good kings, bad kings. The bad kings were really and truly not qualified, but they had the job because of who they were, not because of what they could do. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast today. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. You can correspond with me by writing to Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. Again, that's Lamar Owen, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And the Lord willing, we'll see you here again next week. And the Lord willing, we'll see you here again next time on the I Want to Know More podcast.